This is Lonnie Stark of Stark Silver Creek, and today we are talking with Scott Held, who directed and executive produced the movie Pushing 30. Scott, welcome.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. So let's just start off. How did you get into the movie business? Is this your first film, or have you dabbled in filmmaking in the past?
Well, I was a communications major in college, so I kind of always been dabbling in mainly video projects, writing sketch comedies, but this is the first feature film I wrote and directed.
And what's, for those of the listeners who haven't watched Pushing 30, what's the general premise of this movie?
Well, Pushing 30 is basically, I just think there's like an epidemic of people staying single a little bit longer. But we still have the pressure of turning 30 when it comes to career, marriage, all those kinds of things. And there was just a point right around 29 years old, there's like three or four of us that were turning 30 within like days of one another. And so there was just so much pressure going on. All of us were kind of jockeying to switch jobs, to change relationship statuses, et cetera. But there was so much comedy that came out of that it just kind of drove me to write a screenplay about it. And then the more I kind of wrote about basically just kind of started these conversations almost with myself.
Mm-hmm.
And started writing them down on paper, and I'd read them back to my wife, and she'd start laughing. I kind of started the screenplay in the middle and then worked backwards. It was kind of a weird way to assemble the screenplay, but that's kind of how I did it.
So it's interesting you mentioned that this came out from personal experiences of turning 30 as well as your friends. Was there a particular event in the movie that you most identify with, or that is closer to the truth than you like to admit?
I think definitely the conversations between the two main characters, Nick and Bond, those are real conversations that I almost had with myself. And so when I watched the movie about just like saying dude in your 30s and things like that, those were things I was really struggling with, because at 28, 29 years old, I would catch myself saying dude. And I think to myself, I'm going to be like 30 in like a couple of months. I can't believe I'm even, like, am I growing up at all? And then just the views of dating and marriage, and like there was a real conversation I had one time with a guy who said that he really was physically younger than he was biologically. And it was a full conversation that we had that he was not going to turn 30. He was actually physically only 25. So a lot of it, almost those are the parts to me that ring true the most, is I watch those conversations and banter between those characters, and I actually remember the thought processes in my mind going, it was just really like almost like that could have just been a diary of mine, some of those conversations.
And it must be also a trip for your friends to watch it as well and see that certain conversations get translated to the actual movie.
Yeah, I think for the people that have seen the movie, like it just hang out at the house and have seen, you know, the dailies, I think there's parts where, you know, there's a character named Big Sue, and she's a lesbian that only dates straight women.
Mm-hmm.
And so I based the way she acts on one of my guy friends. And so one of my guy friends goes, you made me a lesbian? But because when I'm writing things, you know, you're just taking certain personality traits from different friends. So you're not, it's not like a based on a true story type of movie. It just, there's certain things that, you know, I'm sure anyone could guess that, oh, I'm this character, I'm that character, when in reality, that one character might be made up of, like, 20 different people, you know?
Sure.
But that one lesbian character, I wanted her to act like this guy I know. And so he was so offended by that.
Well, I thought she was one of the most interesting characters in the movie. I hope he's still talking to you.
He is. He's one of my best friends. And believe it or not, girl that played Big Sue was my friend. That was his girlfriend at the time. So it was interesting. She'd always like have trouble in certain scenes. I think just what would Vince do? You know?
Yeah.
I get it. You know, how would Vince handle that situation? So just funny when I watch her act, it's like she's basically acting like her boyfriend if he was a lesbian. It's pretty funny.
It sounds like it must have been really fun to produce this movie. Now, after you wrote the screenplay for this, how was experience going to actually getting it produced? I'm sure that there was a lot of effort and time involved in doing that.
Yeah, I think the main thing for me was, and I kind of answered this on like the written questions that I kind of wrote in, was, it's almost like an architect if you design houses, but no one ever built the house. I mean, screenplays, everyone has got a screenplay. You go to LA, every waiter is going to tell you about the screenplay he's got. And the only way to really differentiate the screenplay to the movie is you have to make it. And so I knew pretty early on that even though I had a good screenplay, the chances of someone buying it and making the movie would be very, very slim. So I kind of knew early on I was going to have to probably make the movie. Otherwise, it would just be a stack of paper that sat in the desk drawer somewhere, you know? So I just started kind of putting the word out that I was going to self-finance this movie, you know, because I heard too many horror stories about friends and family losing money investing in their friends' dreams, you know? So, and I put it, the word out, and then I said, I'm talking to my buddy, and he's a pretty big-time camera guy, and had worked as an assistant for years, but probably could have been doing it himself, but chose to be an assistant, and he was looking to go on and do some of his own independent projects, and so his name's Neuron Martin, and Neuron basically came to me and was like, if you want to make the movie, we can make that happen. He brought in, like, you know, we had a camera that was probably a $200,000 camera that someone lent us for the film, because he'd rented so many cameras from this one house, camera house for years, and he brought in with a full professional crew that were working for a fraction of what they normally worked for. So I was able to make an independent film with a crew that had worked on, $50 million budget films. So that's kind of when I decided, you only have so many chances in your life to go for it. And the stars were kind of like lining up for me, where it was like, how many times can you have access to that kind of experience and talent and equipment for a fraction of the cost?
Sounds like you have great friends, and it was definitely a community effort.
Oh, for sure. And that's the whole thing about making films, like building a house. There's so many pieces you can't, even if you take a lot of the projects on yourself, if you're going to produce it and write it and direct it and act in it and cast it, it takes an army of people, even on a low-budget independent film. You're still, when you go through the credits, when it's all said and done, there's over 100 people that devoted their time and energy to make your dream be up on a screen somewhere. So it's a huge deal.
So now that this film is out, you're obviously actively promoting it. What's that been like? And I heard that recently you got accepted into a film festival as well.
Yeah, mainly we've gotten accepted. We're a finalist at the Moondance International Festival in Boulder, Colorado. And then we're an official selection for our world premiere at San Diego Film Festival. And mainly, we just hadn't even really begun to really push it that hard. It was kind of like it's something you could always, it's like an old car, something you always want to just tweak it, do this, do that to it. But now, marketing it, and we just created like a Facebook page to kind of create a little bit of a viral marketing effect with it. And within like 48 hours, we had over 400 fans of the film just looking at the trailer. And that's the part that I think has been the most gratifying thus far. It's not that your friends and family aren't going to like it. It's that the perfect stranger is going to start appreciating what you did, So I think that's the best part of the marketing, and just the festivals and people that are film junkies are looking at this film and going through it with a discerning eye and saying, wow, this is a really good film. And so, you're just so nervous that, you don't want anybody to look at your baby and, go, what a pile of crap. I can't believe you put all this time and money into this thing, So that's like the thing that I was so terrified with was, the screenplay is so great, but I mean, if you get the wrong actors to say the lines and you don't have the right audio sound guy and no one can hear what the sound was on that scene where there was a joke at it, but you can't hear it, or the lighting's so bad that some of the actors don't show up well on film. I mean, you get into so many different variables that can go wrong, and you're shooting on such a condensed production schedule that, like, now to look back on it and to be out there marketing it, I'm like, this is the fun part, All this, now I know what the product looks like. It's fun just to talk about it.
So for those of the folks that just became a fan on your Facebook or who've just seen the movie, how long was it between this writing the actual movie and then the script and then producing it? How long has that process been?
It was like, it took probably about a year and a half to 2 years of writing the script to getting into production. And then once I was done with production, post-production took, about a year just going through editing and, music rights and all the different things you have to go through. Because, again, you're having people that are not working for their full scale, so they're kind of doing your job at the end of their regular paying jobs. It was from beginning to end, this has been like 3 to 4 years. I mean, from the time I first sat down on my laptop and started writing the first pieces of the screenplay to coming out and like actually having a DVD that I could throw in and show people, it was almost 4 years. It's been a long time.
Anywhere along that journey did you sort of say, what the hell am I doing? Or, I mean, what I find interesting is what you brought up, which is when you go to LA, there's a lot of people who have scripts out there, but you're one of the few compared to the number of people that have scripts that actually went through the entire process. What do you think sort of drove you to that, and any time you wanted to sort of turn back on it?
Have I ever said, am I crazy? Am I nuts? A million times. The moment the diesel truck showed up with the generators and I had a caterer and all these actors going around and I'm sitting there on this movie set and I'm realizing, oh my God, if this actress doesn't show up tomorrow and we're shooting out of sequence, my whole film goes down the drain,
Yeah.
I mean, every day there's something that can go wrong that can derail your project, and the only way to get out of it is to throw more money out of it, typically. I think the main thing is, it just, before I made the movie, I talked to a lot of people that had made independent films. Some were super successful, and some were just tragic failures. And the main thing is I listened to people. And I listened to people that are a lot smarter, a lot more educated in film than I was. And I went into it knowing that from a financial standpoint, that I was writing that money off the moment I spent it. And that's the biggest part why most people have screenplays that don't get made. It comes down to one simple thing. They don't have the money to fund the production of the film. And if they do, they shoot it on video, and video is not going to be taken seriously by a distributor. You're going to have to shoot on film or a very high quality, high definition camera. And if you don't do it, you're not going to get good actors. The crew's not going to want it. The distributor's not going to want to do it. So if you're going to do it, you have to go all out. Luckily, it's a slow process, and there's a million points along the journey where you can bail out. But the moment you say action, you are committed. It's like jumping off a cliff. I mean, you're in this thing.
So we were able to get screening of the movie Pushing 30 because through Marcus Kane, actually through Facebook. Besides
yes.
These film festivals, how else are people going to get access to Pushing 30? Are you looking at a launch plan?
Well, eventually people can go to pushing30.com, the website. And we may have DVD sales there. I don't think that will happen. Self-distribution is pretty challenging. It's not out of the question. We were on Amazon.com for a while. It didn't really work out all that brilliantly. I think mainly with the festivals, the goal is distribution. You're going to have a lot of industry people there that will watch the film and decide if they're going to pick up the distribution or not. For the average person that wants to watch the film, I would just probably say that just contact us through pushing30.com, and maybe we'll keep their information, and maybe if once we get through distribution, we can start working on some kind of, people can order DVDs or on demands or whatever. But we had it online for people to do on demand, but like I said, it was very difficult to really let people know it was out there. So
mm-hmm.
We might return to that, but I mean, it's too premature for me to say that.
Well, I think it's good to have it on Facebook and some of these film festivals. It's hard, distributing over somewhere like Amazon just because they have so many products and so many, other things there. I think it gets lost in the ocean of products and other items on Amazon.
I think the thing is, too, with the festival credentials we're getting, and one of our actresses has gotten a major role in the new Vince Vaughn movie, Couples Retreat. Her name's Callie Hawk. All these things have kind of all happened in like the last month. So hopefully we have a lot of wind in our back right now. A lot of positive things are happening. So if I did have to self-distribute, I think that it would be easier for me to drive traffic to purchase the movie. But like I said, I don't know yet if that's what we're going to do.
Are you mainly targeting West Coast film festivals, or are you looking nationwide, or sort of what are you currently targeting in terms of film festivals?
I think the main thing is just the festivals that we feel will have the right attendees that will fit well with the our film, because most of those festivals are on the, there's thousands of film festivals, but most of them are niche festivals. You've got animated festivals, short festivals, political festivals, ethnic, lifestyle festivals. I mean, you know, you want to find a festival that, you know, a comedy festival is basically, we're trying to find festivals that really have a comedy component to them. And so if you submit to, you know, the Palm Springs Gay and Lesbian Festival, you know, we do have a lesbian character, Big Sue. Maybe that would justify us getting into that festival. I don't know necessarily that that audience would appreciate our film. So we are looking at the East Coast. We're looking at Cleveland and New York, Whistler up in Canada. Some of the big festivals over there always have Sundance or Toronto. I mean, I don't know necessarily that we would be able to even get into a festival like that. A lot of those festivals, the independent films that they're carrying are independent films with budgets in excess of $5 million with major stars in the films. It's very difficult for a film like ours to get into a festival like that. But we're not opposed to it, and we're not geographically restricted in terms of saying, oh, we're going to go to the West Coast, and we're going to go wherever we feel like the film will debut in the proper to the proper audience.
Are there any plans when you, I don't know if you've turned 30 or, I mean 40 or haven't, but are there plans to also look at pushing 40, or was 30 the definitive age?
No, I'm already started working on pushing strollers. That's the follow-up. Pushing 40, I don't know, there's something boring about 40. I don't even want to put that in a title, you know, but yeah, I started writing the follow-up to Pushing 30 called Pushing Strollers, and just kind of following the timeline of, okay, now they're in their mid-30s, you know, and whether or not, you know, we're trying to stick with the same basic characters. There's a lot of comedy in those characters, and a lot of people have asked me to develop more of Big Sue because they love that character, or, you know, more emphasis on Bond or Ivan and the different characters of the movie. And so, I would love to do a follow-up to this movie.
Sounds like you're in it for the long run, Scott.
I don't. At this point, it's just a really expensive hobby. So, I don't know necessarily that it's something that, like, if you enjoy it and you like it, it's just part of who you are. So it's not like I guess I am in it for the long run. As long as I have these crazy thoughts in my head, I'm gonna have to continue to do something with them. So.
Well, Scott, I want to thank you for taking the time to spend with us and our listeners on Stark Silver Creek. For those of you that are interested in finding more about Pushing 30, you said there was a Facebook fan page. So if they search, I guess, on Pushing 30, or check out pushing30.com. Is that the two areas that people can go to, Scott?
Yeah, if you go to pushing30.com or on Facebook, you can go to, you need to type in Pushing 30 movie, and then I think you can link into, I tried to search it today and it pulled up, like, if you just type in Pushing 30, it's like 1,000 different things pop up, but if you type in Pushing 30 movie, you'll see some links to get to the fan page.
Thank you for your time, Scott, and good luck, and I'm sure we'll see it in film festivals.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully the role will continue, so thank you for having me.
This is Lonnie Stark of Stark Silver Creek. We just finished an interview here with Scott Helm, who directed, wrote, and executive produced the movie Pushing 30, which you can find both on pushing30.com and on Facebook, Pushing 30 Movie.